Coming up on All About Android, we're going to discuss Google's new encryption for low-end devices, the Moto G7 family. Ron was at the event. Samsung is apparently unfolding the future. Maps is getting augmented reality sometime. We round out TwitSwitch 2019 with Megan Maroney and a whole lot more. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Calm, the number one app to help you meditate, sleep, and relax. Start 2019 off right with Calm. For a limited time, get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 407, recorded on Tuesday, February 12th, 2019, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
Hey!
Oh. And I'm Florence Ion. I have not been replaced by Megan Maroney.
Lower third might need to be adjusted.
I know she really wants my job, but you can't have this one, Megan.
I didn't realize the switch went so well.
Yeah, well.
They've been assimilated into each other. Yes, so it is the three of us, of course, joined by two more awesome people.
Absolutely.
We kind of spoiled the first surprise. Sure. Megan Maroney.
It's fine.
To my left. How are you doing,
Thank
Megan?
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm doing great. Now that I have my iPad back.
Oh, it's got to feel good. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, what about you, Jason?
I'm feeling real good now that I got my Pixel Slate back. Also joining us, Chuki Chan in the area again.
Yeah,
so
hello.
You stopped by and we really appreciate it. It's so great to get you in here again.
Yeah, Chuki. It's fun. So yeah. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. 360andev.com. Also got shows on the Android Dialogues on YouTube. What else are you doing?
Well, lots of things.
Lots of things. Yeah. Okay. That probably sums up the things that people can get right at, though, and find you participating in front and center, especially Android Dialogues on YouTube. You should check it out if you haven't seen it already. But it's really great to have such a giant, setup today. Like, when we have five people in the studio at one time, it feels like it changes the energy.
Like
of the
a boy
show.
Band.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And we've rehearsed. So.
So well.
Yeah.
So well. All the sponsorships.
Yeah. You're all going to play a part by singing a song around the sponsorship ad reads. I should also point out that we have one other person in the studio, Greg from Minneapolis. He's sitting in the audience, stopped by. He only had to deal with negative 58 degrees recently.
Oh,
no big
Lord.
Deal.
Whereas we're complaining about our
I know.
42 yeah. degree Fahrenheit. Well,
I'll admit it snowed here today in New York, but it only got to 29 degrees. So I can't complain about that. So
it's all relative, right? But yeah. No matter how you slice it, negative 58 is probably colder than I will ever experience in my entire lifetime. I'm guessing.
You Unless, hope.
I hope. But who knows, because this is the world that we live in right
True.
Now. should we do it? Should we jump into the news?
We should.
All right. Victor, it's time for the news.
I don't know if it's all relative, but there's always going to be Android news.
No, that's not all relative. That's a fact for
it's
everyone.
It's a relative fact.
That's true.
It's I guess satisfactual.
So. Oh, thanks, Ron.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. So I missed last week, but I'm going to kick off the news with some news about Google and encryption, which is fun. Google has developed a new encryption type that's tailored to low-powered Android devices, and it's called – I hope you're sitting down. Put your branding hat on. It's called Adiantum.
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 It's not the next plot device in the next Avatar movie. It's an encryption type. So low-spec devices can't be AES encrypted like better-spec devices without suffering performance degradation. And so an example of low-end processors include the ARM Cortex-A7. Adiantum is 5 times faster than AES encryption on lower-powered hardware. It will not be applied to mid-range of high-end devices, as AES is still faster on hardware that supports it. Adiantum will be released with Android Q and will not apply to just smartphones like Android Go, but also smartwatches, TVs, etc. And Adiantum sounds far too much like adamantium in my day job.
Adamantium. So,
it also sounds like a pill. Like this is
Adiantium.
Take Adiantum to help you with your headaches and back pains.
I like the Wolverine reference. In fact, if Adiantum had Wolverine, but that's a whole licensing thing, and I won't get into that. But yeah. So low-end device encryption, pretty good for watches, right? It's like for wearables and things.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really think about the fact that encryption, the way that we use it on our high-end devices, might not work on a TV. Like Android TV, I don't think of encryption necessarily there, but encrypt all the things if possible, as long as it doesn't...
Encrypt everything.
Why not?
I mean, if you have the ability to do it and not slow things down, sure. I mean, with all the vulnerabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right.
All of the people taken advantage of, the lives that have been ruined.
Oh, man, it's getting dark quick.
What would that mean for the TV? Like, I'm not sending messages on my TV.
You'd have two-factor.
Like, I don't even know. Like, that's not something that I had ever considered. Like, I need to bring encryption to my Android TV.
But you've got data coming into even on the Google Home Hub that I've recently installed in my kitchen, I've got photos of my family going through, and that's going over, and text messages and other messaging stuff. And as we do more and more with these low powered devices, I don't think encryption is that crazy.
No.
So nobody would know how many episodes of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel I watched on my Android TV then.
In today's paradigm, we don't know what that many episodes of that show that I've never seen before says about you, Megan.
Right.
But 10 years from now, we might have some sort of a breakthrough. So yeah, protect now.
Or even sooner.
What is the name of the show?
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Okay.
It won awards.
It won a major award.
But so seriously though, for low end devices, I mean, this is kind of like encryption for all, right?
I mean,
everyone should be able to afford encryption, even on your Android One device or Android One. Is that what Android Go?
Android Go.
Go was the very low end one.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, yes, everyone should have access to that. If it was a hardware requirement that was keeping regular encryption away from those devices, great. A whole lot of extra, you know, a whole lot more people are going to have access to that, and there's nothing bad about that. So,
and it'll be called Adiantum.
We will call it, or Google will call it Adiantum.
Side effects include headaches, nausea.
Side effects include a slightly slower device. Potentially.
Very funny.
All right, Flo, you got the next one.
So we were talking about the things that we want protected. You know, in 5 years, those things could be your feelings, because apparently that is the future with our Google Assistant. So a CNET interview with Scott Huffman, the VP of Engineering for Assistant, shed some light on Google's thoughts on what the future holds for the voice tech. So just a few nuggets from the interview. In the next 5 years, Assistant could detect your mood and tone, which is going to be a huge problem for me because I am so moody with my Assistant. That's for darn sure. So the Assistant can detect it so much so that it could even remember a discussion from a different day so that you could pick up where you left off. So imagine, you know, okay, it's Valentine's Day this week, right? Okay. So, and I apologize for those out there who may be feeling lonely this week, but... imagine talking to your assistant about it. You know, how you feeling? And the assistant kind of checks up with you a couple days in, make sure you're practicing self-care, make sure you're getting your needs met. I mean, I could see it to be a real helpful, like a friend when you need a friend.
Yeah.
Somebody or something, rather, because I don't want to assign it a human terminology, but something that could provide for you a little bit of like understanding when the world just doesn't get you.
When you want to get by with a little help from a friend.
That would be Google.
Google's helping you in all places.
I want this because that's kind of... I mean, I want it because I just like the idea of emoting and having it mean something instead of
I want another thing I can get into a fight with.
And... remember the next day that you had that fight.
Yeah, exactly.
And bring it back up.
Oh, that's a good point.
Hello, we have some unresolved business.
We have some, It's like it's not talking to you. It's like not responding to your commands, and it's like, wow, why is it being passive aggressive?
Right.
And it's like now you have to get down to what why your assistant like is mad at you. It becomes this whole thing. And this thing becomes drama.
Okay, G, what's wrong?
Flo's bringing up a great point though. From a development standpoint, how do you code for that?
I don't know.
And what if you're a petty developer? I'm sorry. I know some of us are out there. Okay. No, like, I would probably code something like that in there.
Like, if sarcastic, then.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like, so are they going to register tones and apply values to, like, that's a sad mood and that's a, you know, mean mood and then have, yeah. You know, like, I don't even know how you even code for that.
Well, I don't
Lucky
either,
we have
but
a,
I'm
developer
not a developer
here.
Yeah, what do you think?
In well, how do we code for emotion?
Okay, so warning, it's going to get dark.
Okay.
What I was thinking is, well, you know, if the assistant is actually listening to you talking to actual humans when you are not talking to it, then you can learn how
how you treat people.
To different moods and what sentences like solicit reactions that are, you know, getting what you want. But I hope it's not happening. But, you know, machine learning needs data. So where would that
That's
come from?
True.
Like, how does it learn human mood?
It's very true.
So observing human would be one way. And how do we find humans to observe? It's already sitting.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's hard to think that this won't happen at some point, right? Like you said, I hope it doesn't happen. But
the assistant already answers in a very organic way.
Totally.
Like it gets more organic, I feel like, with every update.
And if this point in time is kind of the beginning stages of us interacting with robots, let's say, with our voices, it's only going to go further down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So actually, now I think about it, maybe the data doesn't come from scary places like my house, but maybe you can feed it, you know, shows of actual people, you know, contrived scenes of conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Machine, like I said, machine learning needs data. So right. It would be interesting to know the personality. And they was like, wait, that sounds like friends. Like, this is Joey.
I was going to say, what if it's Vanderpump Rules? It's just like a bunch of drunk. Anyway, sorry. If it's like a bad Bravo show, like, what does it learn from that?
Well, isn't it already learning tone? Like the voices that you can call up and get a reservation for. Like, those already have tone, right? Like that, what is that?
The intonation.
Oh, you're talking
the
about
intonation.
Duplex.
Yeah.
Already
duplex,
says like,
right.
You know, just it already has tone. I would assume they are listening to the tone of voice that.
Oh yeah, assume everything. You know what I mean?
I
if
think
we're
it
sending
is.
Our audio to Google and
projecting.
It's analyzing it for one thing, assume that Google is analyzing it for everything it possibly can because it's learning. How many years did Google collect? You know, from its Grand Central. You know, Google Voice operations. It was doing transcribing. It was doing all these things that served a purpose then that fed into the now in ways that then we didn't know about, but yet here we are. So I would say assume that Google's already kind of working on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, their Skunk Works lab or whatever. That would be that sounds super ambitious, but totally plausible.
I think it's more than just plausible. I think it is happening, yeah. And this was just an interview to carefully seed that into. Yeah.
Well, and you know, all those conversations that got recorded when you call a company, they always say for quality assurance, this is recorded.
Yeah.
For machine learning, we're going to record your call
right.
So the machine can know.
Yeah. But those are mostly, the mood is pretty consistent, I would think. It's all like, just like, get me to a human.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's very true.
frustration.
Soon, though, assistant will have the knowledge and the ability to answer back to you in a similar tone.
Right.
Be like, look, pipe down, sir. Okay. You know, and give you some attitude. It's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
Let's see here. Speaking of attitude, what attitude do you have about your time with the Pixel Slate? Because you had the Slate,
I had
Megan,
the Slate
for a month.
I had it, yes.
And I had the iPad Pro, and everybody saw it on this show, and Ron especially had a really hard time with it.
Yeah,
I just feel like this is such a it's watching Jason struggle to set up the poll.
You couldn't
on
do your
the
job.
iPad. Live, yeah. It's really hindered. It's like here, you drive a car for a living, and now do it with one hand tied behind your back. That's
right.
Not fair.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good to do that to get a newfound respect for what you have, also to understand the other side. Chuki, have you had much time on the iPad? Do you have an iPad at home?
I do have an iPad, and it's interesting because I do Android consulting, right? And a lot of my job is taking an existing
iOS app and do the same thing on Android. So I use that mostly to explore like what the app does. So I mostly stay in one app.
Yeah.
So whenever I need to switch, then I get really confused. I'm like, okay, I press the home button. All right, now everything is here. Now what do I do? I'm used to having three buttons to muck with in Android.
At least.
Yeah. And I always forget that how to delete an app. I was like, okay, I need to make them shake.
How do I make them shake? Oh, I hold them down for a while. And then they start so shaking. Annoying. How do I get them to stop shaking?
Right.
When I'm done delete? Yes.
It's the worst.
That was one of the most frustrating things on Chrome. Like when I would slide down Twitter, it wouldn't bounce back up, you know? when you're scrolling through Twitter and you get to the end, it does a little bounce.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, there's an end?
Right.
The top end. I've
reached the end of Twitter.
There is an end to Twitter. I found it. When there's no more new tweets, you're seeing the most recent tweet and it just does a little bounce and that. Yeah. So, but that wasn't my biggest problem. But before we get to that, I have a question. So do people think it's much easier to make an iOS app, an Android app than it really is? Like, do you encounter that a lot? Like people being like, just turn this into Android.
Well, it depends on who people are. Usually, among developers, we have done enough. Like, even if you're an Android developer, you usually have to use some other things. Like, you have to open the shell, do some other things, and same for iOS developers. So we kind of have a basic understanding of, like, everything has its own problems. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking to, like, the CEO of a startup, then, like, he sees an app, right? And then he sees an Android phone and says, just do the same thing. It's already
make this, do that.
Kind of done, right? Yeah. Copy it over. And
doesn't work that way.
No, it does not.
Well, because I feel like I hear people complaining, all like, well, I already paid for this on the iPhone and now I want it on Android. Why? You know, and it's like, it's so involved to make it, it's a new thing.
Right, yeah, right.
So, I liked the Pixel Slate. Like, I liked the screen. I liked the speakers. It was more of, you know, we work in Google Sheets and Google Docs, and it's much easier to use those tools in that than it is to use them in on the iPad. What was frustrating to me was the app ecosystem. I didn't, I immediately downloaded the Twitter app and, you know, just a bunch of different apps that I use. I do things besides Twitter. But and then some of them looked crazy. Some of them looked like they were on a phone. And then Jason just said, I don't use apps. I just do everything in the browser. And I thought, well, that was interesting. But, and then he said, there's a Chrome app store and then there's a Chrome app store, but then there's the Chrome extension store. Yeah. It was just like, I couldn't figure it out. There were some apps some Android apps that you can't get on the Pixel Slate, like Apple Music, for example. Mm-hmm. You can't get that on the Pixel Slate. It just doesn't show up in the Play Store. I wonder
if that's because it's for phone only.
Well, maybe. And
you can't get the phone apps on the Chrome OS, which is like...
What? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I did some research and I found out Kevin Toefel, his All About Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. That's what his site is.
About Chromebooks.
About Chromebooks. Yeah. He sideloaded Apple Music.
Okay.
So is that something you regularly do?
That's a thing that might be coming to Chrome. That's possibly coming in the future. You can't sideload very easily right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never sideloaded into Chrome OS an Android APK. But, I mean, sideloading is a thing that obviously you can do it. It's just, it's
a
little
bit more. You
point at
the iPad. You cannot do it on that.
No, you can't. No, sorry.
You can't.
You can't. You can, apparently. I've never thought to do it on a Chrome OS tablet, to be honest. But
it has its issues. There's a reason it's not like.
Yeah, totally.
You can't just have any app.
It's not something that random person that just picks up a new, Chromebook is like, cool, the first thing I'm going to do is sideload
an app. But I mean, compared to like doing it on Android, because on Android you just open an APK and it loads it and shows up in your home screen.
More entailed on a Chrome OS.
Yeah, because it's a desktop operating system.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so that was all rather confusing to me, the app ecosystem. But,
Did Jason explain this to you before, like...
No, just after a week, he explained. Once I said, like, I was downloading all these apps, he was like, why are you doing that? Oh, because what did I ask? I asked you what Twitter app you use. Like, what was your favorite?
Right.
Or I asked you what email app. I was like, what's your favorite email app? Because I have, like, a ton of different email apps that I use on the iPad. And he was like, oh, I use Gmail on the web browser?
And you're like, you use it in a web browser. Why? There's an app store. And it's like, well, yeah, okay. So Chrome OS does support Android apps.
Okay.
And that's a nice bonus feature, but it's not the first thing that you do.
Yeah, right.
Like, check for the web component. The web component is probably going to be better than the Android app working inside Chrome OS. That's like a last resort.
Well, I'm curious about what your impression was of that, because like going into it and seeing that it's not like an iPad. It's,
right.
There's
They're
not
totally
a traditional app store.
Paradigm.
It is actually a desktop operating system with just like all these forks, you know.
Yes.
Well, not forks, actually. Just
different. Just detours. Right.
Yes. Yes. Exits. Freeway exits.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't just one app store where you could get everything and it was organized and you could, you know, find a million different things to do one task. So that was very different, because that's what I looked to my iPad as. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I have a problem, or I want to enhance my life in some way, or I want to be entertained. And that's why I go to the iPad. And that was just sort of like a Chrome web browser.
Go to Google Chrome, Google Chrome app, type in Netflix.com, HBOnow.com.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's really the difference between just using the internet and like a walled garden, right? Like, for all intents and purposes, the App Store is a curated, you know, kind of controlled environment that will give you the things you want versus just going, opening a browser tab.
Yeah.
I like my walled garden. Safe. There's beautiful flowers everywhere.
We're not here to question your garden.
Well, I guess the better question is, how often on your iPad do you use Safari to do stuff versus, you know, where, you know, it's because Safari on an iPad or iPhone to me is just like it makes me want to stop using the device. And is that the difference? Like, you actually had a good browser to work with.
Right. That is true. Yeah. There is a full fledged web browser you know, in a Chromebook or the Pixel Slate. There is not a full fledged web browser here. So that's true. Good point. Maybe it's my problem.
Well, I don't want to correct you, but yeah.
You're using it wrong. I would say in essence, like, between what Megan's experience was or seemed to be with the Pixel Slate and my experience with the iPad Pro, it really kind of seemed obvious early on that we weren't comparing similar devices. Mm-hmm. Even though when you look at the table and you see two tablet devices that are removable and keyboard attachments connected to both of them, they look like similar devices, but they are so not.
Yeah.
Like, the iPad Pro is a touch focused device, like it primary with touch as the main way that you control it. Like you said, Ron, it is a walled garden. It's a curated approach with the App Store, and everything that you find is going to be tailor-made to that device. The Chrome, the Pixel Slate touch is part of it, but it's really just meant to be a desktop browser. That's what it is. And over time, they've added in the hooks to allow for Android apps that are touch-based, but even those don't always work the way they should, or when you blow it up full screen, it ends up, you know, a bunch of the things, the words are really small.
The little touch pads,
the touch points are strange.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's not ideal. So they're just different tools, right? Mm-hmm. And they do some of the same things, but some things very differently.
Yeah.
And I wanted the iPad to be as productive as I can be on the Pixel Slate, and I couldn't do that. But they're just different.
Right.
The iPad Pro is more designed to be more of like a lean back, I would say more of a casual device.
Right.
The Chrome OS is meant to be more of a productivity device.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of my iPad as like, I get some me time. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to, you know, look at Twitter.
Yeah.
Have it bounce up when I get to the end.
It better bounce up when I get to the end of Twitter, the edge of Twitter.
Listen to music, and, you know, those are just relax. I could do a little bit of work. I have.
You don't take pictures with it?
No, I don't. Have some people out there. But I do edit my photos with it.
Lightroom.
So,
yes.
Do you?
That's fine.
What's the best photo editing app?
Lightroom.
On Chrome?
On Chrome, yeah.
Yeah.
You would get the Lightroom app, and it does like raw editing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So
you agree? There's no one else using
Snapseed. You can use Snapseed. Any of the Android apps that are available.
Yeah.
I use Snapseed sometimes on the iPad.
But then that's where things get a little murky, right? Like when you're running an Android app, and I think an image editor is a prime example of this. It has its own access to the file structure that is separate from the Chrome OS access to the file structure. It's like they're off in their own places, and sometimes getting the Android app to access the files that are stored on the Chrome OS part
of
the drive it can be a challenge. Like you have to do, I've had to, and maybe they've corrected this. I haven't tried to do it lately, but I've had to do these really roundabout ways of like sharing this picture to this thing so that it appears over here instead of just going into the file structure. And that's just because they're right, handled differently.
Because the Android apps were coded to have these things saved in an actual, in the folder the that was within tree, the Android, yeah, like the bin or whatever right, it's called.
The file tree or whatever.
Unlike
it is.
A desktop app, which would save it to a downloads folder or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the desktop.
And, and that's just one example of kind of like how this
nuance.
How it seems like it's really great that it does all these different things. But then when it comes down to usability, you're like, but wait a minute.
Like,
how
well,
do
wait
I get,
a minute, where did it
how
go?
Do I get this image from here to there? Like, that's all I need. I just need you over there. And it's
so,
the hardest thing in the world.
Like it's not one place rather than mm-hmm. it's just two things that you can carry in one physical device, but
yeah,
then
yeah,
oh, I'm on the Chrome side and I'm on the Android side.
Right.
You have to like throw things across the wall.
Right. It's
like,
and you have very to hard to throw things
and you
across
have to inherently
wall.
Know the difference as a user. Like right, like Jason and I have no problem using Chromebooks because we've been using Android all this time. Like, we know all the little nuances and the way the file yeah, structure work. But
maybe
like,
we're more forgiving.
But like, right, but if you put this in the hands of someone like my mom, she'd be like, what is this? This isn't like a Windows PC. Like, I don't know how to use this.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, it's...
Well, I mean, for me, I have the exact same thing when I first use iOS because some of the settings is in the settings app.
Right. Uh-huh.
And some of the settings in the app itself. And I'm like, how do I change this
right,
thing?
So
you have to go to this like system settings. I'm like, but sometimes I don't.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't have that intuition because yeah, I don't use it enough.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah that's yeah, it. Intuition. Yeah. It's a UI intuition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool. So, but I'm happy that we did it.
Yeah.
I'm always
that
happy that
too,
we do the Twit Switch, even though it upsets Ron.
Yeah,
but that's part of the reason why I'm happy that we did it because it's always fun to see.
I mean,
Ron's
well, I mean, sorry. But so where you net out, and I'm sorry if I missed that or whatever. But so like, would you continue? Like, did you like it, Jason?
Yeah.
Did I like the iPad Pro? The iPad Pro yeah, is a great tablet. I think what I realized is that I don't have a whole lot of space in my life for a tablet. And which makes it strange that I'm using a Pixel Slate, but the only way I use the Pixel Slate is as a laptop. So it's kind of silly that I actually do, but it's Google's latest, so I will commit to it for the next year. Would you use the Pixel Slate after our switch?
It was fine. Like it honestly wasn't that different than my MacBook. Just
right,
because I
exactly,
don't do
totally,
that much. I don't really do. I don't need the power. You know, it has more power, so it's better than a regular Chromebook that doesn't mm-hmm, have a lot of power. So yeah, it wasn't really that different. Like I don't use a ton of Mac apps. I mean, I like having, you know, my iMessages come in on mm-hmm, my Mac, and they you can't do
no,
that there.
Not gonna happen. No, not going to happen.
We have other messaging apps though.
We've got lots
WhatsApp,
of them.
Yeah.
We've got many
messaging
apps.
Yeah, the big question is, what are we going to do next year?
I don't know. I
whatever
don't want to think
Google
about
next. I feel like I apologize. I interrupted earlier, but I wanted to say that I feel like every year you guys are tackling a different part of the platform. So like one year you did the phone switch, and then like this year you guys kind of did the productivity tablet switch. Mm-hmm.
And
so
we've
to
done
speak,
the watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the watch,
and the watch. And so next year, I mean, maybe you
home
go home
hub,
with the HomePod.
Home Hub.
And you go home with the HomeKit, and you go home with
yeah,
the Google Assistant.
Right, yeah.
100%.
Or we just switch homes.
Oh, that's easier.
Because like I'm not going to take my...
Do you home, know, home
my,
swap.
Wait, do you switch dogs too?
Home switch.
Yeah, switch dogs for sure. Yours is much sweeter than mine, so I would be definitely up for
aww,
that.
All right, so next year we're switching dogs.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'm happy we figured that out. Let's take a quick break and thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some other news, hardware news, app news, all that kind of stuff. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Calm. A new year brings an opportunity for you to reset and to establish new habits for your happiest, healthiest selves. Maybe joining a gym, maybe eating better. You know the drill because you've probably done it before. You've probably gone through this routine before. But improving physical health isn't the only resolution that you can consider. We can resolve to improve our mental well-being too. So many people don't pay attention to this. They don't take care of their mental well-being. That's why we're excited to partner with Calm, the number one app to help you meditate, sleep, and relax. Actually named the world's happiest app by the Center for Humane Technology. If you head to calm.com/allaboutandroid right now, you're going to get 25% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programs, a whole bunch of stuff jam-packed in there, including guided meditations on issues, specific issues. So you can dive into, say, anxiety or stress, or you want to improve your focus, including a brand new meditation each day that they call the Daily Calm. It's a new kind of topical meditation, usually pretty short, but you can tune into that every day and get new meditations played directly for you and go in the direction that they choose. There's also sleep stories, which are bedtime stories for adults. They're designed to help you relax before you fall asleep. You can head to the fields of France with Stephen Fry, or explore New Zealand with Jerome Flynn from Game of Thrones. Bob Ross is even in there, and I know people love listening to Bob Ross talk, right? That might put you to sleep. There's soothing music, breathing exercises, gentle stretches to relax your body, and a whole lot more. Calm is awesome. If you want, and Calm basically is like a meditation toolkit. That's exactly what it is. It gives you all these different types of meditations or tools around it. Maybe you just want a soft music bed or a sound effect bed to meditate to, and you can make more of like a self-guided meditation. You can do that too. I love Calm. For a limited time, All About Android listeners get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/allaboutandroid. That's calm.com/allaboutandroid to get unlimited access to all of Calm's content today. You can give yourself a gift this time. Give yourself the gift of Calm and a happy and healthy 2019. It's not too late to start. calm.com/allaboutandroid, and we thank Calm for their support. And with that, it's time for some hardware news. That music will make you calm. It's like, oh yeah. Ron, you went to an event last week.
Yes, I did.
You like rocked it out in the real world.
I know. And I saw friends of the show, Rahm Amadeo. And I saw Ayaz real briefly across the room.
Nice.
It was a nice little who's who of the Android tech scene. The folks at Motorola were super, super kind to invite me to their G7 event. To their Moto G7 event held in New York. It was in Chelsea at a beautiful location. And I will admit, you know, when I arrived, I was chatting with some of the other folks, and it was a modest event. You know, like we're used to, like the Google event was, you know, in New York when they announced the Pixel, it was a big room, and they had the presentation. Remember, you had the phones coming out of those columns, and they had all the rooms and stuff like that. This was in a very modest studio, and they had, you know, kind of a couple rows of chairs and a small stage with a screen. And the product that when they started the event, the product manager from Motorola got up there and unveiled the new Moto G7 family. And all in all, the presentation was maybe 15 minutes. It was just like, all right, this is what we're doing. Here's the phone. Here's the specs. This is what it does. And then later, they said, we have the phones here for you to take a look at. And a part of me was like, at first, I was like, oh, Motorola, kind of doing it on the cheap. But then afterwards, I was like, you know, they were respectful of our time. They were short and to the point. They just got to it. And the fact that these were mid-range phones, the event kind of matched, you know, like you don't need a lot of pop and circumstance for these mid-range phones. And to be honest, I was really impressed with what they put out there. So just real, and I took some photos of the event. We can look at them in a second. But the quick rundown on the phones that they announced ahead of Mobile World Congress. So you got the titular phone, the Moto G7, which is a 6.2-inch 19:9 aspect ratio, full HD plus display with a teardrop notch, 4 GB of RAM, 12 megapixel and 5 megapixel rear facing cameras with high res zoom. And so right there, you see that's my photo I took of the Moto G7. This sells for $299. Very affordable. And then if you, Victor, if you want to swipe, that's the back of the Moto G7. You see, so you see the big quarter size, the dual phone kind of lens there on the back of it. Felt very familiar to the other Moto Gs. You know, there's another me holding the Moto G7.
Teardrop up at the top.
Teardrop.
Although
yeah,
they do a really good job of darkening the wallpaper.
The photo,
back
yeah, the
there,
background. So. That was very clever. Yeah. Yeah, so. So then if we swipe to the next one, so this phone here that you're looking at is the Moto G7 Power, which is also 6.2 inch, 720p notch display with 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, 12 megapixel camera, 8 megapixel front camera, and a 5,000 milliamp battery. And I believe the spec that they said was that on a full charge, you could use this battery for over 3 days. And their quick charge technology has gotten to the point where in 15 minutes, you get 9 hours of battery life after 15 minutes of charging. Yeah, pretty good. This one sells for $249. Which is like for the big battery, it's even cheaper than the Moto G7, which is great. And then finally, they had the Moto G7 Play, which is a smaller phone. In fact, the product manager, I forgot the guy's name, but he made a joke. He said, I can't believe I'm calling this the smaller phone at a 5.7-inch phone.
No kidding.
But sure enough, it is. 720p, notch display, 2 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, and a 13-megapixel camera. And this one sells for $199. And this is a great smaller phone, you know, kind of, you know, it is mid-range, but good. Like if you have a teenager and you want to get them a phone that can, you know, do the basic things of a phone that you want it to do without laying out, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, it's a pretty good option. I took a shot of holding the G7 and the G7 Play next to each other so you get a sense of the size. So there they are. So you see the G7 Play is a little smaller than its older brother in the G7. All of these are running Snapdragon 6, the Snapdragon 632, Android 9 Pi. They have micro SD slots. And really the only difference or the only differential that they presented in their presentation was they're, you know, they're running as close to stock Android as possible, but with the Moto experience, you know, where they, you know, and basically what they said was we don't want to reinvent the wheel. What Google has done with a lot of stuff makes sense, but we added our little Moto flair where we could. And like Google with the Pixel 3 announcement, they showed off some of their photo app capabilities, and they have it's like a hyperlapse mode where you can take time lapse video that outputs in a nice little animated video. They also had some other effects that carried over from the previous versions of the Moto camera, but that's really the only area where they added any sort of software touch to the Moto experience. I thought that was interesting that they weren't trying to, kind of overdo what Google does. So, hey, you know, for a mid-range, you know, like we've complained a lot about the high price of phones and the $1,000 phones. It's nice to see a solid $200 to $300 option that you can tell someone from the mid-range and they'll get the stock Android experience with all the stuff that Google brings to it with some little added extra bells and whistles. So I like the G family. I like the G7 announcement. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, what you just described there is like classic the G series, you know. Yep. Lower price, get a lot for it, well-made. Motorola always does well with their G family.
G stands for good.
Oh, does it really?
No.
Good. I was like, God, this is new information.
It's just good, period.
G, Moto G, it's just...
It's good.
Good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. Also have headphone jacks, which, you know, if you're holding out for a headphone port.
Oh, one of the questions is, do any of these have Android Pay support?
Oh, like NFC or...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see anything on NFC in the talking points.
Second.
But Ron knows how to use Google.
Usually the want in these sort of things because, you know.
Let's see.
Well, and a lot of times on like the lower to mid-range, if they got to get rid of something, NFC ends up getting chopped out.
I'd rather get the headphones.
So here's the thing. According to GSM Arena on their specs, NFC, it says yes, parentheses, Europe model.
Which is an important point too, because I think there was a fourth version, the Moto G7 Plus, that was not going to get a U.S. release, so I bet you that's probably it.
Yeah,
that's
like when I filter GSM Arena to just the USA version, there's no NFC. It does have USB-C on it, which is good. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and GPS and all that stuff, but no NFC. Interesting.
Okay. I wonder if these will get what was it called? Adiantum. these might rise above the level.
I think
of
they
Adiantum.
Can encrypt.
Yeah. Oh, Moto G can encrypt. Let me tell you. I don't actually know.
Happy Valentine's Day. Let's get some encryption done.
Flo, you got the next one.
Yes. So also showing off new hardware this month is none other than our dear friends over at Samsung. So much so that, well, they're also teasing us with what's to come. So there is officially a teaser for the event coming up that declares the following, quote, "The future unfolds on February 20th, 2019.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Should we parse those words? I feel like they're telling us something. The future unfolds. What does that even mean?
I think it means what's going to happen is we're going to have a Galaxy S10 plus a folding phone just for...
Probably what it means.
Fun's sake.
That's kind of what we expect.
Yes.
Foldable phone. Some
more
sort
on our
Samsung.
Foldable phone.
Yeah.
So, okay, there are some details about those devices that are going to be, you know, shown off at this so-called event, which, by the way, I hear that somebody, me, is going to be there seeing what's new.
I can't wait to hear what you see.
Yes, yes. We'll see. Do you see what I see? Will you see what I see? So some details about the devices. Regulatory filings from Samsung have confirmed three models. The first one being the S10, the second being the S10 Plus, and the third being the less expensive S10e. E stands for economical. I don't know if that's what it stands for. I just made that up too. So S10 and S10 Plus have triple rear cameras, a regular camera, a telephoto camera, and an ultra wide camera for all of your camera taking needs. Right there on your phone.
That's all the necessities these days.
The
seems like.
S10e has a dual rear camera, so that's all you've got. also, 4K front facing cameras, Wi-Fi 802.11ax, aka Wi-Fi 6, which purports faster speeds, better battery efficiency, and network efficiency. This is all, of course, supported by the Snapdragon 855 chip on the inside. And also, Samsung has posted a page allowing you to dutifully pre-order your phone before you even know what's really going to be up with it next week. But if you absolutely cannot wait and you just want to really be the one to scream first, you can do that.
Yeah,
really?
Apparently.
You can do that and have it delivered to your house by March 8th. That's just in time to prep the phone for your St. Patrick's Day shenanigans.
They're like, come on, just act on impulse and reserve right now.
Do you put a credit card in? You're like, whatever it costs, I'll pay it.
Apparently. Yeah, it's so you can save, of course, if you trade in your eligible device up to $550 on the trade-in value. It says reserve today and receive a $50 instant credit on accessories. So you get $50 to spend on something.
You should do that.
Maybe I should. I mean, we're getting these.
You know, I learned last time I bought a phone on impulse that usually it's a lot cheaper on the holiday time.
Mm. Holiday's a long ways away, though.
It's Valentine's
right around the corner. Right around the corner.
Day, right? There's always a holiday yeah. to slash prices for.
Arbor Day, big yes. phone buying.
Yes.
Time.
Yes.
I always wait to buy my phones until Arbor right. Day rolls around.
Right. yes. I'm talking about me and my Pixel 3.
Okay.
It's like $300 off everywhere now.
Yeah. And the Pixel release happens near the end of the year.
It does. So but there are holiday. Other Mother's Day, for instance, they slash the prices on everything. They want you to buy your mom stuff.
Yeah.
Buy
that's
your mom
true.
Stuff.
There will be plenty of holidays by which you might be able to score a discount.
My birthday, Ron's birthday.
Those are on the calendar. Everyone celebrates
everybody
those.
Everybody knows.
So, Chuki, as the resident yes. developer here, mm-hmm. we must ask you, we've asked a few developers on the show mm-hmm. this question. How does the existence of a future foldable phone or a trend toward foldable phones, which we'll talk about in the next story as well, does this send fear through a developer's mind as far as like having to create experiences that work seamlessly? Or do you have faith that Google's going to set you up properly on the back end?
I wouldn't say fear. I think the first time when I saw the announcement, yes, the knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, another thing to worry about.
Right.
But I trust that they will make the default reasonable because it takes time for developers to put in like special treatment to make it so that it's like different on the foldable phone. So I'm not too worried And also, I think it really depends on what your app is doing.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the apps, it doesn't really make any sense to make something special just because the screen is folded. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried, but I think mostly it's because it's not happening yet. So I think the scramble will begin when when people actually, enough people have it in their hands, and then right. they're like, hey, this looks stupid. Why does it look stupid? Then we're like, oh. I mean, it's the same thing when we have tablets. Mm-hmm. Right? When it first came out, it was like, eh, whatever. It will still work. And then you see those apps that has stuff here and then white space.
Oh, man.
Right? And there's
a
like,
really long rectangular touch button.
Right. And
it extends from one side of the screen to the
other.
It
works, right? So in the beginning, people are more forgiving. It's like, okay, it still works. I can do what I want to do. But then it gets to you, right? It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, yet again.
Oh, sure.
Right? Then the developer's like, okay. And a lot of the times actually driven by the design side of things, the UX team, rather than developers. So I think once we know what we want to put on the screen, learning the actual API and how to do it is not too scary. The part for me that is scary is, okay, there's white space. What do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
If I know what to put there, I can learn how to do it, but I don't know what I want to put there. So that's the part that's difficult.
Somewhat related, but maybe a little bit of a tangent. When there is white space, how do you determine I need to put something there versus maybe I'll just leave it white? Maybe I'll just leave it empty. Like, why does every single space on the screen have to be filled?
It's not about like, oh, white space are bad in general, but it's more like it just looks odd, right? Like, you don't want people, like, a lot of times, like, you think you're a rational being, but it's actually you're driven a lot by emotion, right? So if you look at the app and you're like, this doesn't look right. I think this app would not serve me well. And it's not necessarily that way, but just because it looks odd. It's like half of the screen is not doing anything. Why is it not doing anything? And to be honest, that is not my expertise at all. Like, I can tell you when it looks odd. I cannot tell you how to make it not look odd.
So do you have things in mind that foldable phones will be useful for? Like, do you have use cases that you're thinking of? Like, oh, it's going to be great to be able to fold a phone so I can do
this.
Well, wait a minute. You don't need the end of that sentence. It's just, it's going to be great that I can fold this phone. Stop.
That's all I've ever needed.
I mean, you could be on potty tricks. It's like, ooh, look. Ooh, you're very impressed.
I'm going to swing my app onto the back of the phone by going like this.
If you've ever wanted to see a display freak out and reassert itself 7 times before it figures out what aspect ratio it is, then you'll have that with a foldable phone.
Yes, which is basically what Xiaomi showed us in their video that we showed, I think, either last week or no, it was a couple weeks ago because you were on, Ron. And we actually have follow-up
news on
that.
They've been teasing us with this.
They have, because they know. Yeah. They're getting out ahead of Samsung's big, vacuuming the air, sucking the air out of the room announcement of Samsung's foldable phone. Xiaomi wants to be part of this conversation. So they leaked that video that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And then they just recently issued an official statement regarding that concept to say that, well, just basically to say that, yes, this is their first to develop the double folding concept. So their concept is that when it's out, it's a full tablet, and then you can fold the sides in like that.
The Samari method of folding phones.
Samsung is working on a phone that folds once. We've got a phone that folds twice.
Yes, exactly.
It
and you can kind of see it in these renders.
I like the little tent. You could like warm your hand under there.
Oh, yeah. If it's running hot,
cover your
battery.
You know what? Now that I see the picture, this will be great for like a 2-player game.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can have a common board in the middle, and then you can see your own cars.
That'd be kind of cool, actually. I like
actual
that a
Scrabble,
lot.
Actual in-person Scrabble.
Hey, guys, I got an idea. Let's go digital. I don't know. I mean, Xiaomi's got a good idea with that. Let's go digital.
And so now I should also point out that these renders were created by Let's Go Digital based on what we saw in the video. Yeah. So these aren't official Xiaomi renders. This is just kind of like, here's what we can discern from what we saw in the video. It makes it look really pretty, though.
It does. I like pretty renders.
Yeah.
I mean, And, doesn't like a pretty render, really.
And Xiaomi says that this was co-developed with their supply chain partner. They say they've been working on it a really long time. Xiaomi actually does have a press conference that's scheduled for February 24th. The foldable phone concept isn't likely to appear then. We're probably going to hear more about this later this year. Mm-hmm. However, at Mobile World Congress, we're definitely going to hear about their first 5G smartphone, which is the 5G version of the Mi Mix.
5G.
That we can't get here in the U.S. But hey, Xiaomi is a big brand that it matters to a lot of people in the world. So there you go. So I guess, you know, foldable phones is the next trend that developers are
going to You can't get away from it. It's coming. The wave is coming. Get on
Better
board.
Better than a notch.
Yes, the phone will literally do a wave.
I'll take this over the notch any day.
Megan, when you and Jason do the next switch, it should be a foldable phone where you have to use the foldable phone.
I hope so.
Versus a non-foldable phone.
No, so you can provide to me the foldable Apple phone, iPhone.
Exactly.
That's totally going to come out.
This one kind of bends if you stick it in your back pocket and sit on it long enough.
That qualifies. Bendgate is a thing, right? Is it still a thing? Bendgate was an iPad thing.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, no, this one doesn't really bend.
Especially not with that battery case.
The iPad Pro was bending. People could show that was bending. Not in a good way.
Yeah, okay. Not in an intentional way.
No. Who knows?
Your intention was to bend it.
Who knew when metal gets hot that it, it melts?
Everything has a point of failure. Ron, you got an email.
Yes, okay. John Parker wrote in and said, on a recent show, Ron spoke about the dreadful UI of a certain red and white logo big bank bill payer system, and he was right. Thank you, John. And then surprise, this morning I opened up my email and there's a big splash from said bank marketing their new improved bill payer experience. They've always been good to implement new features, but bill payer has languished in Android app purgatory for a long time. Now it looks as though we're getting a long overdue update. As a loyal listener, I would love to think the show has something to do with it and motivating them to action.
Of course.
So thanks, Ron, for calling them out. Keep up the great work on the show. And I will take 100% of the the credit for them making that change. Ironically, I have not used said app since that show, so I haven't used this new bill payer experience, but I look forward to it. So, but yeah, I mean,
wants to name it. It's just everybody's going to tiptoe around this app forever.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually friends with somebody who works at the other big bank with a blue logo
There aren't many of them.
I know, yeah. And we've had long conversations about app design and all stuff like that. This was the bank that had two hamburger menus, one in the left and one in the right.
Oh, no.
Upper corners. And I was like, dude, what are you guys doing? And they actually got rid of the second hamburger menu, and I'm taking credit for that too. So
they integrated the second hamburger menu within the first one. So you tap the first one, and it reveals the second one that you tap, right?
it's just an inception of hamburger menus. You just keep doing it.
So. This is Ron's Occupy Wall Street.
But here's the real interesting thing, though, is that I'm fascinated and Coochie, like with your consulting and stuff like that, you probably picked up on this. Coochie, sorry. I picked up on this stuff is that the banks are not app companies, they're banks, right? And you've got companies out there who don't make apps as their primary thing. So of course they suffer with their apps because they don't do that. They give loans. Right. And so I find it, it's really hard for companies who aren't technology companies to get the mobile experience right because that's not in their DNA. And and it's taken now nearly 10 years for us to get to the point where we're getting good UIs from non-tech company apps. I don't know. That was just a thought I had.
But they have the money to pay good developer or good designers to do this, right?
Yeah.
Or they should.
I'm not going to.
No.
Well, I mean, actually, I think a lot of my friends do work for the tech part of a bank.
Right.
Surprisingly, more than I thought there would be. Maybe they just want to talk about it because, there's a lot of interesting problems to solve.
Yes, yes.
But I do, some of them here in the U.S., some of them in Europe, actually. And I know some banks in Europe that has really cool features that... we don't see it here. So maybe just innovation happening elsewhere that we're not aware of.
Yeah. Innovation before it hits here. Take a little while.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for writing in, John. We appreciate it. Everybody can write in. You can write in. AAA@twit.tv. Let us know what you think. Let's jump into a few stories in the apps segment. We were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, but now it's an app form. I know.
We're going to talk more about folding phones.
All about foldables. All about foldables. All about foldables.
It never goes away.
So we know that there's probably going to be an onslaught of folding things, those folding things being Android devices. And what do most Android devices have in common? They have the Chrome browser on them. Now, when you have the Chrome browser, you can't be not working on a foldable phone because that doesn't make you look good, right? So Google is preparing Chrome for Android to be able to work flawlessly, that's my word usage, with foldable phones. So an example, a display has multiple apps displayed simultaneously. Well, now it's going to happen so that when the display is folded, it knows to pause certain parts of the screen. Right now, the app is being used to engage while the apps are not. Okay, so right now, what's happening is that. I'm sorry.
We should have talked about this. Basically, what happens right now, and I feel like I've seen this, if you have two apps running on a screen at once, in order to get the other app to like respond to your interaction, it's like you have to tap into it and that unpauses it. And then it,
right.
All of your interactions
so
happen.
That is like the multi-window function that happens on the phone now, right? So right. You have like the main window and like the little floating window. And so to have the little floating window, you'd have that like come into focus and
mechanic. Being jumping between one app into another, it's just not that seamless,
it's
right?
Absolutely
right
not.
Now.
Yeah.
A lot of times you try and do it and it can feel kind of chunky and jumpy and weird. And I think this change is designed to make it so that it doesn't pause
right
when that happens, which it was really hard for me to figure out how to write that up. I was like, how do you even describe
it's okay.
This?
So, that's so
I'm
happened
sorry,
to be
Flo.
No, that so happened to be the one that I didn't read beforehand. Sorry everybody for
it's called
not doing my job. Well,
it's called multi-resume, and that's the support that they're building into.
Yes,
it
multi-resume. So that's going to be ahead of Android Q, so that's just going to become that's going to be coming built in to the actual Chrome browser, which is great because it means that this update will be applied to phones that, you know, maybe probably don't update that often with their software because of, you know, some things that they have going on.
Business.
Because as we know, Samsung doesn't always have the latest version of Android on their phones.
Mm. Nope. Try as they might, or maybe try as they don't might.
Yes. Also, there's just in other sort of like Chrome news, the darkening of Google apps continues with Chrome 73 beta. So this was actually a pretty big news item today amongst the little Chrome crowd. Some contextual menus are beginning to be darkened when Android Pie's night mode in developer settings is always on. So when you hit on that night mode, then you'll get it also in Chrome, which is going to be great because currently, it's kind of impossible to have a dark mode at night. And I got to tell you, when I'm reading stuff on there, the last thing I want to do is like go and dig into the accessibility settings, just get the dark mode to work. Like mm-hmm. There should just be a button, you know?
Well, it sounds like just it's going to be integrated into Android Q.
Make it easy. Don't blow out my corneas at night. I'm just trying to get to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And read a sad story before I go to sleep.
Read this thing before I get to sleep.
Yes. That's when I like to read my, you know, existential.
Your stories.
Yes, my stories.
iOS night mode, is that a
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, do you guys have anything like
dark UI?
Dark
mode, dark UI.
Because iOS is very
like
white, if I remember.
It's very white.
I ate something about Apple.
Just certain apps have dark mode, but there's no total dark mode. I feel like I saw something today where someone was saying like that it was, you know, a rumor that it was being leaked, dark mode, but I don't think it's just apps.
I wouldn't be surprised. Didn't they just announce the dates for WWDC? And wouldn't it make sense then to announce an Android feature in the latest version of iOS?
Yeah, something you know? That they invented. Yeah. Well, when they do have it, they will have invented it, I assure you.
June 3rd through 7th in San Jose, WWDC.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I mean, lots of apps.
Apple dark mode. Apple mode.
And Mac OS has dark mode.
Right. Oh yeah.
Well, they just rolled out dark mode with Mojave, right? Or with the latest version of the desktop OS that's got a lot of dark mode stuff in there.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody's going dark.
So yeah, I guess there were some.
Yeah, because it's better for battery life, it's better for your eyes. Like it just makes sense.
It's just cooler looking.
I don't know. Do I have any reason not to like dark mode?
Dark is cool.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See? True. Dark is cool. You heard it here, folks. Yeah.
Is dark mode a consideration that you as a developer have to contend with or worry about? I mean, that seems like, again, more like a designer
exactly
kind of thing. And yeah, just working the hooks for it.
A lot of the times, doing the dark mode is about making the contrast and making it so that it's actually usable, because you can't just swap in. Okay, black becomes white, becomes black, black becomes white.
Cool, let's just invert everything.
What do I do with pink?
Right.
Dark pink. Like, no, I don't. I don't think it works like that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Dark mode. All the things. Mm-hmm. This is neat. A few lucky journalists were handed a phone with an upcoming version of Google Maps on it, and of course, they wrote about it. Super predictable. The new version of Google Maps features an AR walking mode, which if you remember last year, Google I.O., they kind of teased
this. How many times have I gone down the wrong way with Google Maps?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Google Maps will still get you there, but basically what's going on here, there would be a button that says Start AR while you're navigating. It replaces, and this would be for walking navigation, not for driving, so don't do this while you're driving. It replaces the map that you normally see with a pass-through camera. You know, so it passes through the camera on your device so that you see everything from your environment that surrounds you, and then it superimposes on top of that directional data. So 3D arrows pointing you toward where you need to go, or a big red, you know, landmark button, that signature maps red button
McDonald's
that tells you
is
this
right
is where
here.
You're
it
going.
Is right here.
It's right, literally you're in it.
So can I take it back to the theme of the show here?
Yes, please.
This video that we're watching of how it works, like, I love the concept. I hate the execution. I hate seeing people stand with the phone sticking out in front of them and all that sort of stuff. Wouldn't this be a great solve for a foldable phone where you're holding it at almost your waist level, you're holding it down, and the phone is tilted, the front part of the phone is tilted up, so the camera is catching what you're walking, but you're looking down and seeing it through that, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I feel like this could be an application where foldable phones could work to keep from having to hold the dumb phone in front of your face, 2 feet in front of your face, and walk around like an idiot.
I
don't understand what you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm trying to follow.
So if I took the phone, right, and I folded it up like this, right, and instead of holding the phone like this, walking around, I'm holding the phone down here. I'm going to a little upper for the camera, but I'm holding it and it's flat, but this part is folded up.
Right.
So the camera is getting what I'm seeing. I'm getting that view, and it's giving me that view and identifying turn left, turn right. But I don't hold the dang phone out this way. Right? Mm.
So
I don't know.
You change the position of the camera
so that the
camera is seeing in front, but you don't have to be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of sitting like that, and that's the camera. This is a foldable phone. Okay,
I don't know.
That's the camera. That's the screen.
I'm not.
Alex
a designer,
was saying
just,
it'd be like a tricorder.
Oh,
yes, like a tricorder. Yes.
Wait a minute. This has been created. This is already a thing. We have
it
the technology.
Goes back to Star Trek. Always goes back to Star Trek.
Really I would does. Say Ron's method is also less susceptible to having your phone snatch out of your hand.
It's just, I mean, it's to the point now where it used to, you know, the pet peeve used to be people with the iPads taking pictures. Right. And now it's the people doing this all the time. And it's just like there's got to be a different interface that can get this sort of use case, not in an idiotic motion.
Yes, there is. It's called Google Glass, Ron.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty amazing.
You put it on your head and it tells you where to go. This is kind of what Google Glass did when you did
exactly
navigation.
I was thinking about that. I was put it on a phone, but this should be in Google Glass. This is like
the or just your normal glasses,
or
maybe someday.
It was a tablet that folded up like a map. So it's like, you know how you used back in the day when we had actual maps, and then you'd fold them just to the piece that you needed and hold it in the small thing like that? I could see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like all folded backwards and crinkled and just like.
Yeah. And now we understand what Xiaomi is doing with its the double foldable sides thing. It's like you're folding the map, and this is just all I need. maybe someday it'll be a scroll. It'll be like,
the Ten Commandments.
That sounds like Harry Potter.
It's magic, but it's coming someday. Yes, Mark my words. Cool, though. I would like to play around with it, but I share your grief, Ron.
And that was the biggest complaint in the article, too, that, like, that's what we don't want. And they were trying to create it so you wouldn't stare at it too much. Like, that's what Google's still working on.
Yeah.
They had
hooks in there.
Yeah, like they had a little animated guy named Pizza Man that would show you. Did you read that?
All right.
I'm not making this up. There was an animated guy in one of the versions named Pizza Man, and he would tell you where to go. Like, come with me. And they found that everyone
was looking
too closely at Pizza Man.
I don't want anything that has me just holding out my phone so people know I don't know what's going on. That's a big thing for me, because when I'm alone somewhere and I'm trying to find my way around, like, the last thing I want to do is appear vulnerable. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so when I use maps and I'm, like, quote unquote commuting or going somewhere, what I do is I put the directions in my ear and I have it buzz in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if it's right or left.
Because it's my Apple Watch will buzz. Mm-hmm. It has Apple Maps on there.
And I study the maps before I get off the train. Yeah. So I know, like, okay, it's going to ask me to do this. And because I just don't want to be that person. You know how many times I've been shoved? Like, because I had to, like, go off the corner to, like, look at something. I mean, I don't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be shoved anymore.
No.
It's not fun. I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm going all the time. And I've lived here all my life. I still don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Because we rely on our phones so much.
Especially my generation, I mean,
if you're reading a paper map, people will still show off you. I mean,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. That's not a phone problem.
It's very true.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I guess what I'm talking about is, like, I've lived in Petaluma now 7 years. It's a pretty small town. I should know the basic roads, but I don't, because
in a big city.
Because I just navigate to places.
Yeah.
Not because I necessarily don't know how to get there. But because sometimes, you know, it will illuminate, like, the traffic congestion or whatever. And it's like, okay, cool. I will avoid that and go over here. But the downside of that is, like, I don't know the names of basic roads or streets here. And so, I think I do. But then I realize when I go out, I'm like, oh, this is the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I just feel kind of clueless in my own town sometimes. So.
Are you the youngest child?
In my family?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a youngest child thing, not knowing what directions are.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
It is, because we always just went along. Like, we were never the ones in charge of getting us anywhere. Try it with your friends.
Oh. So you're saying evolutionarily, the older children,
myself
included.
I'm learning something about myself right now.
Are you an only child?
I'm an older child of one other sibling.
Right. And then you were very offended that he didn't know directions. So,
I could tell. You wanted to punch me right there.
Fascinating, because I'm the youngest child, but my sister has no sense of direction, and I do.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Are you sure? Would she say the same thing, Ron? We don't have her
here. The classic story is when she had a job interview in Manhattan when she was maybe 20 or 21, and I had to take the day off from high school to take her in the city and show her how to get around. And I was like, okay, listen, there's the Empire State Building. If it's to your right, you're north of it. If it's to your left, you're south of it. And, like, explain how to get around Manhattan to someone who was 4 years older than me when I was, like, 17. So
That's how I learned how to get around SF.
There's an exception to every rule.
There is.
There is, yeah.
Nothing is 100%.
Today on All About Generalization.
Nothing is 100% except the name of the Q dessert, which Ron had a couple of emails about.
So I got a couple of emails. Jason, look at the second one while I read the first one, because there might look at the chat in the doc, there might be a problem. First email comes from Jerome, who says, "Hey, All About Android team, I can't help but wonder how no one thought of the name for Android Q yet. For those who might remember, 2 weeks ago we were throwing out names for what Android Q might be, the name might be, the dessert name. And Jerome says it can only be Quisp, a cereal which could be classified as a tasty treat. And just imagine the Android mascot with a propeller hat."
Whoa.
And he sent a picture of Quisp, and I remember Quisp, but I don't know if they're going to go with another brand like Kit Kat. I feel like that they got to give Quaker some money for the license rights to that.
What year is this?
I don't know.
Like, Quisp made a comeback in the last 20 years, but it's definitely an older retro.
That font is straight out of the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, so now if we go to our friends at Wikipedia, a little history about Quisp. It's a sugar sweetened breakfast cereal from Quaker Oats, introduced in 1965 and continued as a mass market grocery item until the late 70s. Sometime after the company sold the item sporadically upon the rise of the internet, beginning selling it primarily online. And then Quisp made its return to supermarkets as a mass market item in late 2012.
I've never seen this before.
But you can buy a six-pack off Amazon.
For only $44.95.
Yeah. Which is a lot for cereal.
A six-pack?
A six-pack. Yeah,
that, yeah, but that you can get that for 10 at Costco.
That box looks so 1965.
Yeah, it really
awesome.
Does.
Like, I feel like it's going to come torn.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. Try some Quisp.
Spin my wheel.
Well, I have you know that according to Wikipedia, the TV ads use the same... were created by Jay Ward, who also created Rocky and Bullwinkle.
And That's exactly it. I was going to say that
aesthetic looks very familiar.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, it looks like we started out the second one where Philippe writes in and says, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and yesterday I saw the Brazilian dessert at McDonald's here in Portugal. I thought you might find it interesting. And it looks like...
Quindam. To the right.
Yes.
Next to the macaroons.
Mini Quindams.
Mini Quindams.
And two weeks ago when we did the show, I believe someone mentioned Quindam at some point. And again, to go back to our friends at Wikipedia, Quindam is a popular Brazilian baked dessert made chiefly from sugar, egg yolks, and ground coconut. It is a custard and usually presented as an upturned cup with a glistening surface and intensely yellow color.
That looks pretty yummy.
That's at the McCafe. That McCafe.
That looks pretty yummy, I gotta say. I bet that tastes
McDonald's
pretty good.
Is very nice overseas.
No, it's still not.
Wait, are you already McDonald's. On queue? Or are they just thinking?
Yeah, we're already on queue.
We're trying to figure out what Q will be, because it's the next
What's
one.
What's P?
P was pie.
Pie.
Welcome to All About Android. So the next one's Q. Like, Q desserts are not non-existent, but nowhere near obvious. So
it's gonna be a rough one.
It's gonna be interesting. Yeah. I like Quindam though, right? That's how you pronounce it, Quindam.
Quince
or
quince is a fruit.
It could be a dessert.
Quince? Isn't it just a tasty snack? Isn't it not just a dessert? It's
like a tasty
snack. Yeah,
tasty snack or something like that. But they've all been in the sweet realm. They haven't really there haven't been any that have ventured out of it. So that would okay.
But quiche will not be sweet. Maybe
quiche would not be sweet.
Yeah,
a sweet quiche is a pie.
Yeah.
Right.
Which we already have.
That's where we are at this moment in time.
Made from the same pie crust, really.
This is such a recurring segment. I'm pretty sure every single episode until it actually gets announced, we'll probably have some sort of a guess on the show, because who the heck knows with Q?
Or they just won't give us anything, which I'm kind of...
Maybe it would just be Q.
Yeah, exactly.
I think everybody needs to research their Q desserts, because at some point, Jason and Flo, we're going to have to put stakes in the ground and make our guesses.
I want to eat something. It's been kind of hard.
We're not doing Oreo tastings.
Well, been kind of hard doing the show without that show snack.
What about pie?
Why isn't
there
pie?
Jason wouldn't bring a pie every week for us.
No.
And so really, it's
that sounded like a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It is. It's way more work than Oreos.
It's pretty easy to go or order Amazon, a stockpile of different
order
Oreo cookies
from God
and just have them.
God knows where and
eBay used Oreo
dates.
Cookies in some cases, it seemed like. Anyways. All right. Hey, what do you say we get into the arena?
Let's go battle.
Let's venture.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena!
twit.to/AAApoll406. Nice. You pulled up the poll right away. And
What is this?
That Grasshopper won with 36% of the votes.
That was Russell's pick. So guests' pick.
That was all right.
I miss a show and we get a fancy voting mechanism.
Oh, yeah. So I tried this out last week. It worked. I think it worked really well.
We'll try
it again this week and see how it goes. First place, Grasshopper, Russell. Wins, so that's a team guest, 36%. Second place, Remote Fingerprint Unlock, 33%. That was also team guest, right? I think that was Michelle's submission. Mm-hmm. Third place, Tiny Bubbles. That was my game at 18%. And fourth place, G-Folio at 13%.
Yeesh.
That was Flo's.
Yeesh.
So the guests, strong.
Those results put, you know, guests back in the winner's circle. 5 weeks of doing the arena, I miss a show and I lose first place. Guests are now in first place with 16 points. Flo is in second with 15 points. I'm in third with 13. And unfortunately, Jason, you're last with 9. So you got some work to do, my friend.
Yeah, I always have some work to do.
That's embarrassing. Story
of my life.
Super embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. I feel shame right now. Yeah. Gonna hide under the table if I need to hide somewhere. I don't know. So who goes first then? That would be
the loser, which would be me.
You. Okay, Flo.
Oh, Flo, yeah.
Right, but I'm not a loser. No, I'm definitely a winner on the
inside. No, you're special, Flo.
Your Google assistant doesn't think you're a loser.
No matter how mean you are to it.
You haven't heard. Yeah.
3 years from now, your Google assistant might have a different feeling.
I've got
about
a
this,
lot but. Of stuff to answer for to my assistant. oh boy. Okay, well, just let me know when.
Go for it.
Okay, I'm just gonna go. Okay. So I had mentioned on the last show that I'm just trying to find apps that just do things for me, and so this week I brought in an app to help me make gifts because you know, I just kind of really got into making things on my phone and just making silly things out of the videos I take of my cat and my robot vacuum. So this app is called GIF Maker Editor. It's got some very long name in the Play Store. Now, it's free to try with some unlockable abilities for the ads. Of course, support your devs. And I've only used a bit of it here and there, but the thing that I really like about it, first and foremost, is just this very colorful interface that it has. So I just imported a GIF from Google Photos. And so I'm going to go, when you first start up the app, it onboards you, kind of tells you what each of the different menu items offer. It lets you download GIFs from the internet. It has like a GIF studio, so you can go into like Giphy and download things and, you know, combine them with other things. Or maybe you want to put like your own text on something and make your own meme. It's got, of course, if you want to pay for advertisements, you can upgrade to the pro version that unlocks filters for you, supports more frames, lets you do high quality GIFs. And I apologize. This is more set up on my Chromebook, which is why I'm like going through this onboarding process right here on my phone. So we're going to quickly make a GIF. So here's me scratching my cat this morning, okay? We're doing our morning cuddles.
Aww, and that's always good, like I said.
Exactly. So your standard GIF image editor, you've got your timeline at the bottom, shows you how much time you have left. When you're done, you just hit done, and then it processes and makes a GIF for you. So, and it's very quick. Lets you cycle through. You can adjust the GIF as you need. So if you need to crop it, this I really like because I shoot everything in vertical mode because I'm that person. But whatever. Don't hate. And then when you're done, you can save it again. You can change the colors if you like. Go in and adjust the... adjust the exposure as you need. Adjust saturation, things like that. You can add little decorations, like some eyes on the cat. There you go. I haven't tried pinning this. I don't think you can pin it like on Instagram, but it's fun to use nonetheless. You can draw, do all sorts of stuff, save it, export it as you need. You can choose if you want to maybe also export it as video. So you can use this as a video editor, which is really nice and helpful because the video editor that you have on Android is very limited. The one that you have built in. You can adjust the size in case you want to share it on the internet. It's nice to have all these sort of options in a GIF maker. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of GIF makers to try and find one that works for my needs. And I feel like I really like this one. I was very wary of it at first because the icon for it is super colorful and it has like has a lot going on. It has ads. But after using it for some time, I just like that it gives you all of these different options. And, you know, you can even, like, if you want to make a GIF out of screen recording, I use this when I'm in Animal Crossing.
That's nice.
You know, so I can show off my home to my people in the Discord chat.
You're like, sure.
That's a lot of words I didn't understand.
I played. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chugi and I are super friends on Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. Like,
and do you hang out in the Discord
together? You help me a lot.
I give
through
her
those
butterflies.
Oh, and, you help me so much with the butterflies. I really appreciate it. So that's Gift Maker Editor. It's just, if you spend a lot of time on your phone like I do, interacting with people, it's very fun.
But is it Gift Maker or GIF Maker?
I call it GIF.
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 There's only one pronunciation that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's GIF.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, because somebody mentioned it, Timber, in the chat room. And the reason I don't use Timber is because it is very low-res export of GIF.
Okay.
And when I was trying to make Pokemon GIFs, it wasn't working the way I wanted it to. And that's when I went on my search for a better GIF editor.
And you found...
And I like this GIF one maker. Because it lets you crop it the way that you want, because I'm a horrible vertical recorder.
I downloaded something just called GIF Maker, and I just made this GIF. Can we show it off?
Yeah, here? Show right here.
Shoot, can you see there? Or
right
should I put
here,
it
right here?
Okay, right here.
Yeah, I think this is the spot.
I thought everybody needed to see that.
Oh, everybody needs to see that.
I don't know if it's the same GIF Maker, but it's on iOS, an app called
Alex
GIF Maker.
Alex and I have matching jackets.
Oh, it's my. Yeah. It wasn't my jacket. It was the Rent the Runway jacket.
Oh.
That I made everyone wear at our holiday party.
You should. When you rent the runway a jacket that fabulous, you have to make everyone wear it.
Yeah. I can't look away.
It's enchanting.
It really is. Thanks, Alex.
You look very comfortable in that coat. All right. Megan,
Me?
Why don't you go next?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can show it off on Android. Okay. I have it here.
So my favorite app is on Android or iOS for watching movies. It's called Canopy. And I love it because it is free with your library card. So I made Jason install it on his, looked great on the Chrome.
Yes, it does.
Pixel Slate. So all you have to do, it has to be in your area. So we signed in to our library, our Sonoma County Library, but it has all these movies that you can watch. You can't download them, but you can only stream them. And they're, really great. And some of them are not available free. Like Lady Bird, I think, might be on Amazon free. And that's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, please watch
it. In Sacramento.
And so.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it is a really good movie. And you just scroll through and, you know, press play, and you can also share it with people. But then there was that movie with Nick Offerman, that Living Out Loud, I think. That one wasn't available. Hearts Beat Loud.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't, I looked up on my Apple TV and it wasn't available for anywhere, but it's free with your library card. You can only do 6 movies a month. And we just used 2 of your credits.
That's a fair use of the library, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I love libraries, and I love this app. So should I show off more stuff with it? You can
search.
Does
it cast?
Yes, it does. Oh. You can cast the movie. I think it should show up there.
If I was connected to a Wi-Fi network, that detected a cast point,
it would
appear there.
And I wonder, I know there's an Apple TV app that you can use, or you can AirPlay it to your TV. I don't know if there's a, an Android TV? App on your Android TV. I have an Android TV, but I don't have any apps on it.
I mean, I wonder if Canopy has an Android app for Android TV.
Yeah. And then there's also, this is all the adult stuff, the non-kid stuff. And there's kid stuff there, too. We just press kids and you can see all kinds of movies for kids if you're into that sort of thing, which I thought you might be, Jason.
I certainly have kids who are into that, which means it's about 90% of the movies that I watch fall in this category. Someday that will not be the case. But for now, this is the way that it is.
So if you're trying
really cool, though.
If you're trying to save money on, you know, getting rid of Netflix or Hulu or HBO or whatever way you stream movies, you can save some money and just take advantage of your local library.
That's awesome. And I mean, it's free if it's supported by your library. I got 6 credits this month when I signed in. So I think every month you get 6 credits. If you have 6 movie nights, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Free movie
nights.
I'm
lucky if I have 1, to be fair.
They're free from the library? Yes, you are. Yes. Your taxes are paying for the library. Or if you check out books and forget to return them for many months,
you're
also paying for the library, which that happens to me. I also like that they're sort of curated movies. They you know, it's not just every movie. They're pretty good ones, I would say.
Yeah.
Classic movies. Like, if you're trying to improve your, you know, your oeuvre of movies you've seen.
Always looking to improve my oeuvre of movies.
It's a good word.
Then, check out Canopy. It is free. There are lots of free library apps for books and movies.
Girl, the Mod, that's a good movie.
That is a good movie. Yeah.
Right on. Great pick. I'd never heard
There's
of Canopy
some really
before.
Good movies on there.
And you can watch it with your great speakers and screen on your Pixel Slate.
I could. Yeah, actually, here, let's see if I can open it up here. Mm-hmm. And show you real quick.
Oh, wow. Look at that tablet interface.
I know. So this is the Android app.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, no, sorry. No, that is the browser. Wait a minute.
But you also had the app.
I did.
See, and it's right. Very confusing.
There we go.
What?
Isn't that amazing?
What's going on there?
It was fine before I switched away. Here, this is the beauty of Android apps on Chrome. Isn't that awesome?
Why did it do that? Is it because you put it in tablet mode?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
Goodness
so.
Gracious. Now Very you see well what I'm be. Talking about. I'm not just complaining. My walled garden looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
Close.
That is the trade-off with the walled garden, is your garden is very nice and nicely taken care of.
Let's launch it again and see what happens. So Canopy.
It looked good before.
It did. There you go. See? It just works, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time.
It just worked, and then it didn't.
And you can share movies with people. So, you know, like if you know someone that hasn't seen Harold and Maude, then you can share it with them.
Amazing. Really amazing. Mm-hmm. awesome. This is Canopy with a K.
With a K, yes. Canopy with a K. Free. Free. Right on. Free.
Free. Okay. Let me see if I can get out of that app. Yes, I can. Ron, you want to go next?
Yeah. So I'll be honest. Well, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes at the All About Android HQ is that I had a bit of a day. And so when I sat down, I was like, oh, I got to get an app in the arena. Got to look for something. And I realized I looked at my most used apps and I realized I've been playing the game Cut It Brain Puzzles a lot because I downloaded it a few weeks ago. I've been playing it on the subway. I actually looked it up. I'm on level 248, which means I'm playing a lot. So I'm like, I should bring this to the arena because it's a game I'm actually playing. It is a very well designed, very nice. It should be very familiar for those of you who play these kind of level based games, but it is a physics based, puzzle game where you can cut things and based off the physics of the things that you cut, they either roll or fall or swing. And the idea is to either have the colored bar hit a star on the board or to eliminate all of the color completely from the board, have it all fall off the screen. The levels, and you're very limited in what you can do. Most often, you know, up top here, Jason is showing basically how to play the game. It's pretty cool. But up top, you can see your 0-1, you have one cut that you can make. And of that, you need to get three of those stars. So it moves very fast and it can often be very challenging. And see, there you go. You made that cut too big. So you got to make that a little smaller and it can be really satisfying once you figure out, that's what I need to do. Like in this particular case, you need to, you know, use the little catapult action. And it's, you know, it definitely does, you know, make your brain work to figure out the physics of the situation. Right. Yeah. So,
ooh.
You can't do that kind of cut. You can't cut through the plug. Oh, you can. Oh, yeah, there you go. But There you go.
Oh.
It does feature hints that you can purchase with money. I have not done that. You can also purchase skips if you get frustrated at a level. I have not done that either. I'm very proud to say that I'm up to level 248 with no hints or skips as of yet. If you've got a commute that has you on the subway or on a train or on a bus and, you know, you only have a couple of minutes between stops and things like that, this is a great way to chew up the time. So it's called Cut It Brain Puzzles and it's totally free. And Jason, I encourage you to keep playing it because once you get up there in levels, it can be very frustrating in a good way. So
satisfyingly frustrating.
There it is. So then I want it to be more like that. There we go.
There you go. You did it. Yeah. Now, what's neat about the game, though, is you see that it's all – you got all those hearts that are flying around. If you go back to the main menu, Jason.
I can't stop playing though, Rod.
Yeah, you got to stop playing. Hit the back button. They rolled out recently an update. Scroll up to the top of the menu. They added Valentine mode. And so they have a seasonal update. So if you tap Valentine mode, that pulsing banner there, it goes to a bunch of levels that are Valentine's. Made it to level 161, so I unlocked it. But it's all Valentine-themed challenges and puzzles and things like that, a lot of hearts. It's a lot of fun, but it keeps it fresh. It keeps, you know, kind of, I like the seasonal element to it. Good design, works well. It's good stuff. So cut it brain puzzles, a lot of fun.
Nice.
It's very addictive, very addictive.
Very.
And they have... So you're playing on the normal mode. They do have up to, if you go back to the top of the nav, on red, they have a hardest mode, which is a much harder version. You need to get to level 181 to unlock it. And then if you hit the blue button, they have a daily challenge where they introduce other puzzles that are more daily. You also need to get to level 161 in order to do it. So Jason,
look, I want to
do all these things.
Well, it goes pretty quickly. I'd be surprised.
I mean, I blasted through 15 levels while you were talking.
Yeah, it's true. It was very impressive.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it was very impressive.
And as you go through the different color, like the different levels or colors, and they do introduce different mechanisms and different ways the things can work, and adding more physics to the board and make it very, very challenging. Like I mentioned, I'm on level 248, and as you can see here, there are just hundreds more to go.
Wow.
So if you're looking for something that will chew up a lot of your time, this might be the game for you.
Talk about game design. Like somebody had to come up with 672 different levels. Yeah. That doesn't happen overnight. That's crazy.
Yeah. Fun game. Yeah, check it out.
Cut It. Brain Puzzles. Mm. Great pick.
Also available on iOS.
Excellent.
I will say, should be available on both platforms. So
expect that to feature next week on iOS Today. Yes,
exactly.
Chuki, what you got?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have this app called Over, which... it's kind of interesting because it's kind of on the same theme as Flow about editing photos. Well, I guess GIF is video more like. So I look at this like you can do two things with it. One is to...
Unfortunately, it might be a little awkward, but you might have to hold it there to get it in the shot. Yeah,
so I will lean in and try to explain. So basically, you can do one or two things. At least that's how I use it. You can either make things more like a promo or a... poster, which is useful, like for example, I run meetups, right? So you want a compelling banner so that people can, because you know, us humans, like worst boring picture. Ooh. So, but what I do is I just put worst in a picture and then it makes it good. So for example, you can scroll and see all these different templates and you can pick one you like. A lot of them, you do have to pay for them, which is fair because you have to make some money and otherwise the app will just die. So for now, I'm going to show you a free one. So in the templates, you can change the words and the graphics and things like that. So you can click on it and say change text. I don't think I can type in this angle, so I'll just say free. And then you can save it, and then you can share it to whichever platform you want. The one that I also like is you are going to just start from scratch, right? So you can just start a project. And what's nice about it, actually... for me, it's like the small thing that matters. It's the fact that it tells me what ratio works on which platform.
Right.
Oh, nice.
Because I hate it when Twitter crops my picture and then it's just the neck, like the head of the person is gone. So I was like, okay, I want to crop my picture to the proper ratio. And I never remember because there are so many of them. But today we're just going to do Instagram, which is square. So I don't need this app to remember that. Square. So once you choose that, then you can add different elements. So I'm going to pick an image, which I earlier today took at the Golden Gate Bridge. Then, just like the GIF app, you can change so I can make it happier because it's quite dark today. And then I can also change the size, so I can put it in the place I want and make sure my leg's not cut off. It's hard to do at this angle, but you get the idea. And then you can also add some text if you want. So I, like I said, it's hard to type at this angle, since of Golden Gate Bridge, it'll be golden. And what I like, again, small things, right? Like, it has so many fonts. I love fonts. They are so cute. So it's a good way to create something that's slightly different. So if you do a lot of social media, it's like, this is kind of the next level, right? One is just remember that you should post so that people don't forget that you exist. But then, you know, having compelling images helps a lot. And this is a quick way to make something looks good.
Nice. Yeah. I love it. I love how it knows like the different formats for the different places, because so many times like I just want to create a thing that goes there and then it ends up looking horrible because I didn't size it properly.
Yeah, it's like the small things. I was surprised that that's what really, really like make me use the app.
Awesome. That is Over. Edit and add text to photos. Look for Over and you will find it. Awesome pick. Mine should be pretty quick. It's a game, and I guess the best way to describe Time Locker is like a mixture between Crossy Road and Super Hot.
Which is
an interesting kind of combination. Wow. I should have launched it prior.
Because Super Hot is pretty intense.
So and Super Hot, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a game where the mechanic is action in the game only moves as long as you are moving. If you stop moving, everything slows to a halt. And it's a really, it's really great in VR. If you ever have the chance, check out Super Hot in VR. It's one of my favorite VR games of all time. This is nothing like Super Hot, but the time mechanic is somewhat similar. And like I said, kind of crossed with Crossy Road. And actually the graphics kind of approach is somewhat similar to what you might see in Super Hot as well. So I am this thing right here. And as I move, you can kind of see the bullets that I'm shooting or whatever. I think it's a bear. Kind of shoot out. I can move in all different directions. Let's see here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to play. Okay, I thought I was going to play an ad. Okay, so here's the start. So when I'm going, there will be different things that kind of appear, and I want to shoot them. The green things will give me little bonuses and everything. There's going to be a void that starts kind of pulling up here.
Jeez.
So I have to kind of, even though I can slow down time and everything.
You're shooting penguins?
Yeah, you know.
They're evil penguins.
That's how I roll. Okay. Yeah, you don't like these penguins. You shouldn't like these penguins anyways. These are like,
they're not the march of the
deadly
penguins.
Okay. They don't like you. And so, yeah, you go along and like you can see, if I stop, everything kind of freezes in time. Things get a little bit more intense when suddenly the void starts appearing and you really need to kind of get moving to get ahead of it.
The void isn't affected by you stopping time?
No, it is not. It'll keep moving. So the fact
How does that work in metaphysics?
Oh, that's terrifying.
I need to keep going. I've never done this good, you guys. This is
You've never done this well.
Yeah. Oh, done this well. Thank you, Ron. Sorry, I'm playing a game.
Wait a minute. How can you stop time, but the void is still moving in time?
What
dimension is that?
I don't know.
The void is on a different dimension.
And actually, I don't even know if it's called the void, but it should be.
It's a good name. Yeah.
I don't know. They probably have a name for it. But
big orange penguin is still moving.
Yeah, they're moving slightly. This is what would happen if you were still alive.
Oh, gosh. This is too much.
Is it blowing your mind? Yeah. Yeah, I knew it would blow your mind. It's called Time Locker, and it's all about time and slowing it down. It's kind of Matrix-y, kind of.
I thought it was going to be some sort of productivity app.
Me
too. Time Locker. Like, lock down your time.
Yes,
don't spend
get your
so
time
much time
back.
On Instagram.
Nope. But this is a productivity waster. It's a game. And it's fun. So check it out. It's called Time Locker, or Time Locker-Shooter is how it is in the Play Store. I don't know. But do a search for Time Locker. You'll find it. twit.to/AAApoll407 is where you go to place your vote for this week for your favorite app. Is it GIF or GIF Maker, depending on who you are on this show? Canopy with a K, Cut It, Brain Puzzles, Over, Edit and Add Text to Photos, or Time Locker, 5 apps to pick from. Place your vote and we'll check in on it next week and see which one is the winner. Victor, of course, is circling right now. We don't really know where he's going to land. He lands on Cut It.
Thanks,
Cut
Victor.
It gets Victor's vote. And right now, as it stands, Cut It is in the lead with 50%. Canopy and Time Locker behind, both with 25%. But it's early.
It's way early.
Do I get to campaign for myself throughout the week?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are there fundraising limits?
Mobilize your following.
Okay. Well, because, I mean, you know, you could watch a foreign film and educate yourself.
Yeah. You could. Or you could just play this game and waste.
Or you could just kill penguins.
I recently was playing another mobile game, and they're like, take a survey. And I'm in this mode where I just take surveys. Like, JetBlue sends me surveys, and I take them. Like, why not? I'll give them feedback. And one of these mobile games asked a question. It says, how do you decide what games to download? And it was just like, top charts and user reviews, you know, and like a whole bunch of options. And the last option was influencers. And then I closed the survey and I stopped taking it.
Because you didn't want to come to terms with the honest truth is that influencers are how you do that, right?
I just didn't want to. I didn't want to promote the use of mobile games at Fire Festival.
Oh, I see. I thought it was because you felt it would be biased because you yourself are an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you wanted to be honest. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but okay. I'm a bad influencer.
Ron's so modest.
You're such an influencer, Ron. That's it. We've made it to the end. We've all survived. We've come out of the other side better people, right? We feel enriched in our lives. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Getting dramatic.
I know. Things got really serious. Chuki, it's always awesome to get you on the show. Thank you for letting us know that you were going to be in town. You could stop by.
Yeah, thank you so much. It is so fun.
Yeah. Tell people anything you want them to know about what you're working on. I don't know where people can follow all the work you're doing, all that.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Chuki. And like we said at the beginning of the show, I run a conference called 360 AnDev. It's an Android developer conference. And for the show, I actually created a discount code. So if you're wanting to come and learn about Android in Denver in summer, which is beautiful, you can use AAA as the discount code. And it's 15% off.
No way!
That
is awesome.
I would love you all to come and check out, I was going to say the show, but more like the conference. Yeah. And also just Colorado is on the Thursday and Friday. So I would encourage you to come and then stay the weekend, go to do some hiking and enjoy the outdoors.
Kidding.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's such a surprise. Thank you for offering that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys better take her up on it.
Yeah, I want every to see single you in one Denver. Of you.
Yes.
Let's sell out this event.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you again, Chuki. Mm-hmm. And Megan Maroney.
Jason Howell.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on to this show.
You're welcome. Thank you for doing my show earlier.
It was a lot of fun. So, it was a lot of fun being the barrier between you and Leo.
Yeah, you did it a little bit
in the middle.
Yeah, you did a little too well. Now I want you back every week.
Uh-oh.
So iOS, twit.tv/iOS. Mm-hmm. And then what else?
twit.tv/TNW.
Oh, there is that.
The other show that I do with you. Yeah. I'm Megan Maroney on Twitter. I'm at goatswearingclothes.com on the web. That's my home on the web. And you will not find any goats wearing clothes.
But naked goats.
Yes.
Find ton of those. Strange. We should rename the site. But anyways.
Yeah. I should buy nakedgoats.com. It's true. I wanted to see if that's available.
It's probably available. Yeah. Not anymore, actually, now that it was said out loud. Thanks, Megan. This is fun.
Thank you.
What about you, Flo? What you
Me?
Got working?
What have I got working on? I'm not very good at hyping myself, which I should be better at. And so I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, I've been doing a lot of work on my website, florencelion.com. I changed around some fonts to make it a little easier to read. So if you head over, I'm using all Google fonts. And I've got this new little column I'm putting up called Midweek Things. It goes up every Wednesday. There's a new one going up tomorrow. I'm trying to get in the groove of blogging weekly. So those of you who've sent me questions, you'll be seeing them go up this week. I promise it is something that I have committed to do this week because eventually I'd like for you to come to florencelion.com because that is the flow feed and that is my home on the web. So
nice.
Go to florencelion.com and keep sending me questions.
So florencelion.com is your home on the web and nakedgoats.com.
Nakedgoats is available as I checked, so that'll be my second home on the web.
All right. Ron, what's your home on the web?
Hey,
I'm so curious.
Flo, I submitted a question and I don't think I got an answer.
Yeah, you did. You did submit a question.
Where's the answer?
Look, she's got priorities, Ron.
No, he asked me a very good question. Unfortunately, I can't answer him on air.
I'm looking for you to answer it on Flow Feed. Anyway, all right. Well, I'm not answering any questions. You can follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. I've got another podcast called Finale, finalepodcast.com, where me and my lovely co-host Carrie talk about the last episode of a beloved TV show. We're just having an episode out this week, but we ran into some difficulties, but we'll be back. I imagine we'll be back next week. So stay tuned for that. Probably better than good chance that this is going to be my last show for a couple of weeks, because my babies are coming home. Yeah. So stay tuned on that. I'll keep Jason and Flo up to date, and I'll pop in when I can. And then once they're all settled and good, then I'll be back on the regular schedule. So So if you don't see me next week, it's because I'm feeding a baby every 3 hours.
Do what you gotta do, man.
Twice, right? Two babies. Yeah. So
yeah. Do what you gotta do. We will hold down the fort for you.
Yes.
And, I know. I'll be watching. I'm going to be a watcher now. That's the thing. Yeah.
So. And we'll just have a whole, I'll just replace you. We'll have a whole segment devoted to iOS so that you come back sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. What are they doing to my show?
Wow.
That's incentive
that's a
good for
turn.
You. I'm really happy to hear that they're coming home.
Me
man.
Too.
Yeah, me too. It's excited. Yeah, they're all ready. They're like almost 8 pounds each. It's crazy.
What?
So, yeah. It's crazy.
Craziness. So. Well, congratulations, yep. man. All right.
Thanks.
Keep us posted. Victor, thank you, sir, once again for everything that you do.
No problem. I'm looking forward to the future healing factor coming with Android Adamantium.
Adamantium. So is that meant to sound like Adam Ant?
Adam? Ooh.
Is it?
I don't know.
No, or am I the first? I can't be the first person to hear that. Okay.
It's the thing that Wolverine has in his fingers.
It's called adamantium?
Adamantium.
Yeah.
It's the metal. It's the metal that's actually bonded
okay,
to
so
his
then
bones.
It's meant to sound like Adam Ant. The musician.
Adam Ant.
No.
Right? The musician for the
$5 says Flo has no idea who Adam Ant is.
Do you guys know who Adam Ant is?
They don't know. They don't know, Jason. We're old.
I've never
We're
heard old. Of that cereal from 1965, but I know who Adam Ant is.
Adam Ant is, yeah, he's
Adam
Ant
is great. He's yeah. great.
Okay, well, you've got some homework to do, apparently.
Yes.
And this is just another one of those moments where I go.
Well, one of the side effects of adamantium is memory loss.
It's true.
Put it's on true. A little makeup.
thank you again, Victor. Thank you to Alex for sitting in here. And pensively looking at us the entire episode.
Every week.
As if we were just about to mess up.
Just about Thank to you. Show another
Yes, another picture of him. and you can find me here on the Twit Network or on Twitter at Jason Howell. It's time for our yearly Twit survey. If you haven't participated in that, you still can. Lucky you. Twit.to/survey19 for 2019. Let us know what you think about what we're doing, what we could be doing better. If there are show ideas or topics that you want covered on this network, we are listening. So let us know. Twit.to/survey19. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Our Arena apps list, every app that we've had in the Arena to date, although it's a few weeks out of date, but I will always give credit where it's due because it's a job that the moderators
thankless and, job.
Yeah, thankless job that people awesome people do for free, and we really appreciate it. twit.to/android apps if you want to check in on our apps list. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. There you're going to find everything you need to know in order to subscribe to the show, all of our past episodes, the times that we record, which is every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. You can actually watch that live by going to twit.tv/live and a whole lot more. It's all there for you waiting. And so are we. We're waiting patiently for next week's episode of All About Android. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody.